Because the old 12-step fellowships about being careful about making decisions when you're angry, lonely. Was it tired and lonely? Was it angry, hungry, tired, and lonely? And here we have Jesus who finds himself exactly in that situation. And Luke's telling of the temptation. When we read Mark, it's like he's driven out. But in Luke, he's led out, and we're told that he fasts and that he prays, and for these 40 days, he prepares himself. So we can imagine after not eating for 40 days and being out there by himself, we have Satan showing up when Jesus is probably physically, emotionally, and mentally at his weakest to offer him basically everything earthly, and tempting him to do miracles that are self-serving, offering him, control of the whole world, as well as trying to get him to test God, by jumping off what was probably for them the tallest building of the time. And of course, Jesus, and what I love about how Satan does this is he uses scripture. See, I'm always a little hesitant when somebody, uses scripture sometimes to get their point, because as we see here, even the devil knows how to use scripture. I often think it's funny as one of my good friends who is a now she's a Quaker, but she was an agnostic for years, but she grew up in one of those very Bible churches. Could outquote anybody scripture. So even though somebody's quoting scripture, as we see with Satan today, doesn't always mean it's a good thing. But as we see with Jesus, it's always that thing is you can always argue the Bible with the Bible. But we have Jesus who not only, gives as good as he gets from the devil with scripture, but also makes it clear that he's not going to give himself over to temptation of earthly things. Whether it's as simple as a loaf of bread, to the possibility of ruling all nations, or the jumping off and seeing if God catches him or not. Because Jesus knows that he doesn't have to go there. And he knows that this has nothing to do with what he's been called to do. Yes, he's been in the desert or the wilderness. We don't really know if it was the woods, where he's exactly at. We're just told he's in the wilderness. But part of the reason he's going out there is to prepare himself for this kind of time, this kind of test, this moment. We are told that Jesus is baptized beforehand, and this is the first thing he does, is to go out into the wilderness. And he does this to prepare himself. We don't really know what Jesus was doing before he got baptized. Luke is the one who tells us up to about age 12 that, we hear that Jesus is basically this precocious child who goes to the temple and, and out-talks everybody. But then after 12, Jesus basically falls off the map for 18 years. So we don't know what he's doing. He's probably working, because we heard scriptures a few weeks ago where, people are amazed because isn't this Joseph the carpenter's son? So maybe he's probably working. So Jesus is getting ready to start a whole new part of his life, a whole new phase. He's really prepared to take up the mantle of his Father God and to start his ministry. But before he starts, he takes time out to prepare himself. Now, for us this time of year, we have 40 days of Lent to basically to honor and to match the 40 days Jesus spends in the wilderness. And this is a time, a penitential time of year, a time in which we are called to penance, to pray, to ask forgiveness of our sins, to meditate, to fast. And we do this to prepare ourselves for our own ministry and what it is that God is calling us to. Yes, it is to look for the forgiveness of sins, but it's also to get ourselves ready to do our ministry, to get rid of those distractions that get in the way of our focus, so that we can truly look at what it is that God is calling us to do, both as individuals and as a community. Now, in the ancient idea of saints, of sin, when we first get the Bible and we're talking about the Koine Greek and we're talking about the idea of sin, it's about the missing of a mark. It's about going astray. And the idea of repentance is that returning to God. It's not so much about this big punishment as it is in coming back to God. And so in these next, the rest of these 40 days and 40 nights, this whole Lenten season of fasting, of prayer, I encourage you to use this time not to focus on all those things you've given up, but to focus on why you're giving them up. To put your focus back towards God and away from all those earthly distractions that get in our way. And I think this is really crucial for us nowadays because, you know, even though, yeah, I'm pretty fortunate, you know, my boss kind of expects me to focus on religious matters. You know, my boss kind of expects me to talk about God things and church things, you know. But, you know, I've also spent many years in the secular world working, and I realize that even in the secular world, even if they are welcoming of your beliefs, or at least, you know, respectful towards them, most places nowadays would prefer you not displaying them all over the place, as I should say. But that doesn't mean that even though you're not preaching the good news verbally, that you're not preaching the good news by the way you live your life and how people see you. And so this is the time in which you can stop and focus on how is it that I show Christ to the world. Is my own house in order before I can look at somebody else's? What changes do I need to make in my life? So through prayer, fasting, meditation, the study of Scripture, we have this opportunity. So my sisters and brothers, I encourage you to use this time. But I also ask you not to become discouraged when it doesn't, you know, maybe you kind of fall a little bit short of your goals, or maybe, you know, you fail a little bit in what you're giving up or any of your practices, because none of us are perfect. You know, that's the whole idea of repentance. We continuously turn ourselves back to God. If we were perfect, none of us would need Lent. Be honest, if we are perfect, none of us would need church. God made us. God understands us. God knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we will make mistakes. But he's always there for us. Always prepared to take us back. Waiting for us to turn ourselves, to repent, to come back to him. So my brothers and sisters, again, I encourage you to use this time through prayer, through meditation, through study and confession, by talking to others. To renew your relationship with Christ. To bring yourself back to God. To allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and through you. To be that wonderful person who you are. The world has a tendency to pile stuff on top of us. And sometimes we don't help out any. Sometimes we're bringing the whole in on top of ourselves too. This is a great time to just stop and allow ourselves to be.